You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks. Whether you find yourself in a good place or a difficult place, perhaps even in a very lonely place, you've come to the right place. Pastor Richard will challenge and encourage you today with God's hope. Now, a reminder that you can always listen to, download, and even share this or any talk with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. Then, at the end of today's program, you'll hear some very time-sensitive and important details from Richard himself on the future of Richard Ellis Talks, as we're literally just trying to keep the lights on so we can continue to be God's light of hope for you and the ones you love. So let's jump right in with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Dyed in the Wool. And if you know anything about something being dyed in the wool, it's someone who is deeply and firmly committed to a particular belief, opinion, or way of life. The expression comes from the process of dyeing wool before it is spun into yarn, ensuring that the color is thoroughly integrated and permanent. So you don't make something, then dye it, you dye the wool. So something is dyed in the wool, it means it's in there to stay. Now, this can be a good thing. It depends on what your dye is and what it is you've drawn a line on. And I'd like to start today in Jeremiah 23. So if you'll turn there. What is going on in our world has been going on in our world for a very long time. And it is revved, amped up right now about as much as ever. And there are things that go on in the world. You say, well, that's the world. But there are things that are going on in churches. And there are messages being preached in churches that are not in Scripture, and they are not of God. And if you don't know the difference, you're in trouble. People say, well, you know, the devil is trying to attack the church. The devil is joining the church. And he will send people in, and they will get their hands and their claws inside of a church. And you say, well, but someone comes in, they don't know Jesus, they learn, they grow. If you're growing, you're not going the wrong way. You're going his way. And that is different than coming in and trying to poison a church. So let me read you a few verses out of Jeremiah 23. Let's jump in verse 1. Anywhere you see woe, it is not a good thing. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Like, I'm warning you. Destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel, against the shepherds who feed my sheep. You have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for the evil of your doings. You're not attending to them, but I will attend to you, says the Lord. But I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I have driven them and bring them back to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them, and they shall fear me no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking, says the Lord. Now go down to verse 16. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. Now think about somewhere you've heard someone on television somewhere speaking a bunch of nonsense about it's all about positive thinking. You're going to have peace. Everything's going to be great. Everything is not going to be great if you're living like hell. You shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of their own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. So you can do whatever you want to do and no evil will come upon you. It's a lie. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and has perceived and heard his word? Who has marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, a violent whirlwind. It will fall violently on the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord? and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Instead, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, who try to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which everyone tells their neighbor, as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream, and he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophet, says the Lord, who steal my words, everyone from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophet, says the Lord, who use their tongue and say, he says. Behold, I am against those who prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, and tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their recklessness. Yet I did not send them or command them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all. I saw a video recently someone sent me of a local pastor, big affluent church, happens to be that. The guy's in his office and making some kind of statement. And it was the most jacked up thing you have ever heard in your life coming out of a pastor's mouth. We are so sophisticated in our country, we have a whole month set aside for sin. We are so sophisticated, we decided to redefine marriage. It's not men and women anymore, it's just anybody wants to get married. That's not marriage. And we are so sophisticated that we are afraid to say things out loud that the scripture clearly states in writing. You say, yeah, but if you say those things out loud, you'll get fired. When are we going to start worrying about what God thinks about who we are and what we say, not what everybody else says? Amen. So you say, well, then you hate gay people. You hate sinners. No, I don't hate gay people. I don't hate sinners. It's just not what God intended. Now, while we're chasing things, you say, well, but you're attacking pride. God attacks pride. I mean, pride works in the zoo with lions. That's about it. You want to see a pride? Go to the zoo. Well, let's make a month for adulterers while we're at it. Let's celebrate adultery. Or for fornicators. We've left that one out. If you're hooking up with somebody you're not married to, it's fornication. It's sexual immorality. But we've just thrown this all out the window and tell people, no, you can do whatever you want to do. And then they got chaos in their lives. They got chaos in their marriages. They got STDs. They got all these things they're not supposed to have. And go, why is God doing this to me? He's not doing anything. You're doing it to yourselves. So we don't tell anybody what the truth is anymore. And this pastor went off about how his clergy could do same-sex unions and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, dude, if you're in that church, run for your life. Run for your life. That is not of God. That guy is not speaking for God. If it contradicts the scriptures, it is not of God. So you listen to what the world says. You look down in the scriptures. You say, Lord, is this what you say? And he says, no. He says, okay, then I'm going to go with this. I'm not going with that anymore. And then people say, oh, you preachers, y'all seem like you're angry. Look, I am mad as hell at hell. Because it's steal, kill, and destroy. And because churches don't stand up, a lot of times because preachers don't stand up. And so you say, well, but if you stand up as a pastor, you'll lose some people. I'm not sure I want to keep the people I'm losing. If you came in here and you go, well, I don't have to stay here. You're speaking out against sin and making people nervous. Go somewhere else. This isn't going to change. And if the enemy sent you here to take this thing apart, good luck. We're not backing down. There's only one way to the Father, one way you'll get into heaven, that's Jesus. Died on a cross, buried, raised from the dead. And if you got sin in your life, you got any kind of struggle, now this I do know. However far you've gone, if you ain't dead yet, you haven't gone too far. Jesus saves. And whatever your struggle is, his power is greater than any sin that's got a hold of you. Go to Matthew chapter 7. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, go down there. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. They show up, they look like sheep, they smell like sheep, they're not sheep. They are ravenous wolves inside. They don't mean you well. You say, yeah, but some of these guys come in and they say such nice things. They seem so sweet and it's all God and it's all couched in whatever. If it's not the scripture, it's not going to work. Inwardly, they are ravenous wolves. What do ravenous wolves want to do? Tear you apart, destroy you. You will know them by their fruits. So you say, well, how do you know if it's a wolf in sheep's clothing or not? How do you know? Look at the fruit. Is it love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, goodness, all the fruit of the Spirit or not? You say, well, they seem nice. You better be way past nice if you're walking with Jesus. This is not about being a nice person. It's about being a godly person, or if that fruit explodes off the branches of your life. And part of that fruit, I just get a little nervous. Someone who, you know, comes in, they say all the right things, and I know I hit this hard, so I'm trying to be gentle like I'm ever gentle, but here we go, let's try. If you're not fishing, you're not catching fish. If you say you're a follower of Jesus, he said, if you follow me, I will make you to become fishers of men. That's what he told his disciples. If you're a follower, you're a fisherman. If you're a fisherman, sooner or later, you're catching fish. If you're catching fish and you're doing what Jesus said to do, you're going to make disciples of them. So I listen to pastors. I listen to preachers. I want to know, who are you leading to Jesus? Not who are you inviting to your church. Who are you introducing to Jesus? And once you have, who are you discipling? Now, this is intense. I get this. But if you're a pastor out there and you're not personally discipling men, if you're a man, and while we're on this, if you're a woman and you're a pastor, you're out of line. It's not in the book. Oh, you can't say that. I'm not making this up. Read your Bible. Two places men are supposed to lead, in a church and in a home. It's just a thing. Maybe we should have an intermission, let people leave. Who are like, I'm out of here. Like, well, okay, we'll resume in 10, you know. What do you want me to preach out of? Right? It's in here. Well, but the world's changed. God has not changed. Jesus hasn't changed. Holy Spirit hasn't changed. The book has not changed. Stop changing the book. You can't redact the scriptures. You can't just highlight junk you don't like and go, I don't want to do this anymore. If you're a pastor out there and you are not discipling men, something is not working. It's not working. You say, well, no, I'm preaching. Good for you. You got to make disciples. How did Jesus make disciples? He had men follow him. Now, if God in the flesh took on 12, that was his number. You can handle one. I wouldn't jump on 12, but start with one. Walk with somebody. No one walked with me when I got saved. Finally, someone showed up. It changed my life. Change someone's life and do what God made you to do. Back to Matthew 7. They come to you in sheep's clothing. Inwardly, they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? The answer is no. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. Don't just look at what someone is saying. Look at what someone is saying with their lives. Watch how people treat people. So you have these false prophets and teachers, deceptive leaders, hypocrites. I mean, I get a little nervous preaching these sermons and reading these verses because I'm a hypocrite. I am not seamless all the time. So I'm like, God, how do I get up and say this stuff? Because if you walk with me, you stay with me long enough, you stay with me every day 24/7, sooner or later you're going to go, you're a hypocrite, and you'd be 100% right. But that's not my goal. That's not my purpose. My desire is to know him and to follow him and for it to be less of me and more of him. But if that's not even a desire of your heart and a concern and you have no awe and respect for God, then something's gone terribly wrong. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. And Jesus knew what he was doing when he left them there, leaves us here. He said, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, smart as a snake, gentle as a dove. The Holy Spirit in the scriptures is portrayed as a dove, the serpent, Satan. So be as wise as Satan is, but as gentle as a dove at the same time. Now, how does this stuff work itself out practically? I can speak out against pride, but yet when I come across someone who's living that lifestyle, I don't have to be rude. If they're believers, it's one thing. You say, well, how can someone believe in sin? Find a mirror and ask yourself. So someone can be caught up in a sin. But if they're not believers, their lifestyle is not their main issue. People don't end up in hell for being gay. People end up in hell for rejecting Jesus. That's the only way to make hell. You say, but what about these particular sins? He's coming for those, but you have to decide what you're going to do with Jesus. And so what do you start with? Well, you say, well, I'm not comfortable with their lifestyle. I don't think it's what God intended. But you got to love that person. Talk to them about Jesus. You don't know where they've been, what happened to them. You don't know them. And this is what happens. Churches have this crazy thought that you can come to our church, but you got to clean it up out there before you come in here. How about come into the emergency room and let's help you get it right? Then we'll send you back out to live the life he intended. How many churches reject people based on there's some sin, they look weird, there's something about them, they don't smell right, they come out of a shelter, whatever it is you've come up with that you can reject somebody, don't reject anybody. Now, if someone says they are a Christian and they're living a godless life, you have scripture to say not to even eat with those people in certain situations. But that's different than dealing with lost people. Matthew 24, verse 24, he warned them about this, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So this is a dangerous thing going on, has been for a while, but especially now. You say, well, that person did some great sign or wonder. They did some miracle thing. The devil can do miracles. He can do wonders. He can do things that get people's attention. Don't fall for that. Look at the person. Find out if they are a follower of Jesus or not. Don't be wowed by the wow stuff. Oh, this happened. Ask yourself, ask the Holy Spirit if you're a believer, he lives in you. Does my spirit, you, the Holy Spirit, do you bear witness with what's going on here? Is this of you? And if he says no, get out of there. You say, yeah, but it's something cool's going on. Cool is just a synonym for lukewarm. Be hot or cold. It's not about being cool. You got to listen to the Holy Spirit inside of you. And if he says, this is not me, you go, I got to get away from this. Yes, get away from these people. John chapter 12. Now this one still completely blows my mind. I've looked for scriptures. I quit looking for them. They're not in there. But this is one of the greatest tragedies of all time, that Jesus would show up, born of a virgin, spend 30 years getting ready for those 3 years, for those 3 days, and he picks 12. And one of the 12 he picks is Judas Iscariot. I'm like, Jesus, what are you thinking? You know going in that this guy is not going to make it. He's there for a reason, but couldn't you get someone outside of the group to betray you? It's not that hard. Someone close. But why one of the 12? And the only thing I can come up with is he knew what church would be like. That the 12th man would show up and we'd have to know the difference. John chapter 12, verse 4, but one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box and he used to take what was put in it. He was a thief. He was stealing from the ministry. By the way, Jesus' ministry would never have cleared the ECFA, whatever that thing is that ministries have to clear. Because they would have come in and done an audit and said, you got one of your followers stealing from you. I know. Well, what about that? I'm God. You worry about what you're doing. I know what I'm doing here. How can you be so close to Jesus? How can you see the miracles? How can you feel the love? How can you know what's going on? The blind see, the lame walk, the dead are raised. How can you see all that and still not get it? You can be in a church and end up in hell. You can hear the stories, but somehow reject it. And maybe your problem is you're a thief and you'd rather steal than be saved. Maybe your issue is some lifestyle thing and you'd rather keep your lifestyle than be saved. When your sin is more important than a savior, you are in trouble. When you value your little sin that will cost you, when you trade it in for Jesus, you're in trouble. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Now let's go to this dyed in the wool thing one more time. 1 Corinthians 15, 58, after this long chapter about death and resurrection. Therefore, because of all the things he said, my beloved brethren, written to Christians, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Don't be easily shaken. There's so many churches out there now that are trying to be cool. They're trying to make it easy for people to come and, you know, water it down and let's not say anything offensive. Let me tell you something. You ain't preaching the gospel if you're worried about being offensive. The gospel is offensive. If you preach that Jesus died on the cross, was buried and raised from the dead, and you're not going to make heaven without that, that's offensive. And then you go to some of those churches and listen, and you never hear the gospel because they don't want to offend anyone. I'd rather offend you with the gospel and you meet Jesus than you be offended by hell and that we didn't tell you anything. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. 2 Corinthians 11:13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. So what happens? All those people, false prophets, they died in the wool, dressed up like sheep. Lots of wool, no Jesus. Now look at these verses again. False apostles, deceitful workers, they transform themselves into apostles of Christ. And pay attention in the world. By the way, if someone refers to themselves as an apostle today, get out of there. There are no more apostles. You say, well, where'd you get that? It's in the book. Well, but I thought that was one of the gifts for a time. Oh, this guy's an apostle. You can't just make up names and call yourself something because you think it sounds cool. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, now look at this. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, whose ministers? Satan's ministers. You don't want to be one of those, by the way. His ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, so they act like it's righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. And they all died in the wool. Wolves in sheep's clothing. And go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Colossians 2, 6 says this, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. How did you receive him? By grace through faith. So walk that way, by grace through faith. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. You say, well, I'm a dyed in the wool. I used to hear this. Well, I'm a dyed in the wool. And then they'd fill the blank in with their denomination. It's not going to do you any good to be dyed in the wool unless you've been washed in the blood. You get washed in the blood, you get dyed in the blood, now you got something. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So churches don't want to talk about Jesus. They don't want to talk about the cross. They don't want to talk about the blood. They don't want to talk about all the stuff that'll change your life. So what do you believe? You drop dead, where are you going? You say, well, I'm going to heaven. What are you going to do between here and there? Well, I'm going to hide out and try not to get fired. Because if I said, you know, what you're saying out loud, I'd lose like all my followers. Man, this whole follower thing about to wear me out. I am a follower of Jesus. How many followers of Jesus do you have following you for discipleship reasons? That's a follower. Well, no, I got to be cool online or they won't follow me. Okay, bring me your verses. I'd be happy to look at your verses. He'd rather you be hot or cold. This lukewarm mess. Well, I have a platform. Why don't you use your platform for Jesus? Well, but if I say something about Jesus, they'll quit following me. It's not about them following you anyway. It's about them following Jesus. If you're following Jesus, you're trying to lead other people to follow Jesus. Well, but I won't be able to monetize that. Oh, so now we know what it's about. It's about money. That's all you got is money?
Thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We hope you're encouraged by Pastor Richard's unique way of challenging us to become more like Jesus every day. You know, that's been the goal of this program since day one, to be a place of hope and to help us grow in our faith journey. So as we come to the close of another program, Pastor Richard has a very important final word to share with you today.
Hey, this is Richard Ellis, and I just wanted to take a minute to explain how this works. A lot of people think it's some mega church or we have a big donor and that's how we fund this operation, but that's not true. We have radio stations that provide the mechanism to broadcast it, and the time on there is not free. But to make all that happen, it requires money, and that's where you come in. and you are the only source of that we have. We need your help to keep the lights on and do what we do. The listeners, that's all we got. So if you've been with us for a while and you say that you're blessed and you listen and, you know, you believe in what we're doing, just ask the Holy Spirit what your piece of this is, and whatever amount He tells you, send that. And we trust Him to provide for us, but that means we got to trust you to hear from Him and follow through with that. So God bless you. Thank you for your help. Please continue to pray. The world's in a bad spot, needs Jesus more than ever. And our prayer is, even so, come, Lord Jesus. God bless you.
Your new ongoing or one-time gift means more than you can imagine. It really is the difference between darkness and light, between uncertainty and stability for the future of this program. The website right now is richardellistalks.com. The simple and secure contribute page makes it easy to become a dearly appreciated financial partner. So thank you for praying about joining this critical effort in keeping the talks coming by literally keeping the lights on. Just go to the website to find out how. RichardEllisTalks.com. And until next time, we look forward to again joining you for more Richard Ellis Talks.